Welcome to the 415th episode of the Reading and Writing Podcast. Stay tuned for my interview with author Ava Berry, author of the debut novel Wind Hall. Stay tuned for the interview. The Reading and Writing Podcast is brought to you by Libro FM. Libro.fm lets you purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore. You can pick from more than 185,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company out there, but you'll be part of a different story. One that supports your local community and your local bookstore. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to get more books into your busy life. You can listen during your commute, while doing chores, walking the dog, or just relaxing at home. All you need is a smartphone and the free Libro.fm app. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen to next, check out recommendations and curated lists from people who know audiobooks best, your local bookseller. Here's your special offer from the Reading and Writing Podcast. Get two audiobooks for the price of one today with your first month of membership with the code RWPODCAST at checkout. This offer is only valid for new members in Canada and the U.S., Check out Libro.fm today. Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. My guest today is Ava Berry, author of the debut novel Wind Hall. Ava, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sure. If someone hasn't heard yet about your novel, Wind Hall, how would you describe the novel?
So I always start by saying it's about an obsession with old Hollywood, like the golden age of Hollywood, because it really did come from my own obsession with this old, mostly dead world. And when I lived in Los Angeles, there were still fragments of it, but it was something that sort of was relegated to the past. It's about a murder that happened, a fictional unsolved murder that happened between a very famous director and his leading lady. And the murder was never solved, and the director absconded from the city. And in present day Los Angeles, a journalist decides to finally solve it once and for all, especially when he hears rumors that this director, who's now in his 90s, has come back to the city.
And do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to writing Wind Hall?
So I had tried to write this book for years. And I just really, the issue for me was I was obsessed with old Hollywood and this world from the 30s and 40s especially. And I could not figure out a good angle to get into it. I tried writing a novel set in the 30s and then set in the 40s, and I couldn't get other people interested in it. And it wasn't compelling enough even for me. And then in 2016, I finally decided the story is about obsession, my own obsession with this fascinating world, which is no longer a world that exists. But also I decided to make obsession a theme. The director seems obsessed with his leading lady, who he's ultimately suspected of killing. And then there's the more contemporary obsession of the journalist, who becomes obsessed with the director himself.
So why do you think you're obsessed with the golden age of Hollywood? Or have you thought about what it is about that era that fascinates you?
Well, I've always loved, I guess, like tragic decadence or ruined decadence. And there's so much tragedy, the inception of Hollywood in the 20s, like the 1910s and the 1920s. It was like widely known that actors were given way more money than they knew what to do with. They were paid insane amounts of money because this was a new industry and there was just such an appetite for it. And it was like one of the real first kinds of celebrity. And so people were paid so much money that they ended up ruining themselves on it by taking way too many drugs, drinking too much. And then with the advent of sound in film, all of these silent actors were suddenly cast aside because many of them did not sound good when they spoke. That's another really fascinating period of history. Something that was just like going from the top, being on top of the world and then being swept aside once your industry no longer had use for you. But the other reason I'm obsessed with it is that era is because I always thought that it was boring and just calm, because a lot of black and white movies, especially with the Hays ruling, there's this really heavy censorship. So a lot of those movies can seem staid or calm, but there's actually so much drug use and so little oversight, and people got away with murder.
Did you watch old movies and research this era of Hollywood while you were working on Wynn Hall?
Oh, absolutely. Sunset Boulevard is one of my favorite movies. Maybe my number one movie. It switches, but it's such a brilliant script. And it's always the movie that I tell people to watch if they're curious about old Hollywood, because I feel like that movie could have been made today. The pacing is so fast.
And is there any like modern cinema that you enjoy?
Yeah, my partner and I watch lots of movies. We really enjoy lots of HBO. So we've been really into Succession. We recently finished The Sopranos. So that's a little bit older. But yeah, HBO is just brilliant. I love HBO.
Yeah, Sopranos is amazing.
So good.
I've watched it multiple times.
Oh, yeah, so good. No, and then rewatched. I've seen you many times, but Goodfellas. And then we're on a mafia kick. So we're watching The Godfather 1 and 2. And yeah, so good.
That's great. Well, what was your writing journey that led you to writing Wynn Hall? Had you written any novels before Wynn Hall?
Oh, absolutely. And that's something I think is really important to talk about, because I feel like Wynn Hall has actually done surprisingly well for a debut novel. And I always want to tell people, this is not my first book. It's not my first book. I'm blanking at the moment. It's either my third or fourth book. Fourth. It's fourth. My fourth one. I spent so long trying to find an agent. I was rejected by about 200 agents, which is high. And yeah. And then that was for my first three books. And then I finally landed my incredible agent for this one, Annie. But then even she started sending Wynn Hall out in, I think, September of 2017. And it was rejected by a lot of publishers as well. It takes a while.
So were those earlier novels also about old Hollywood?
The first one was not, but the second and the third, yes, they were about old Hollywood.
And what kind of kept you going to first of all, write those three novels, and then, as you said, have over 200 agents reject you? What kind of kept you going?
That's an excellent question. Okay, so I really do just love writing. So you have to enjoy it. I do get a lot of enjoyment out of the process. The other thing is, I knew that I wasn't very good when I started. So it wasn't like I had this gift to impart to the world and I was like, how dare you reject me? It was just like, all right, that's probably fair. And I did see my work getting better. And I also just really, I really wanted it. And I had respect for the process. And the other thing, it's not I was getting rejected and people were being callous and awful. It was just, it's a business. Like, it is a business. And you just can't take it personally. But also, there has to be a lot of curiosity. Like, I think you have to be really curious about what you're doing and really, yeah, just invested in getting better. So I guess I...
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
I wasn't determined to be famous or anything like that. I was just like, this is something I am determined to do. Like, even if I'm 70, I will get a book published. And also, the other thing is, you just have to read so many stories of, you have to realize this is something that people go through. There are authors who have written, who have spent years and years writing, and then like they finally get published after 20 years and it's a smash success. So just be patient.
What do you think you were learning along the way in terms of craft and your own progress?
It sounds really cheesy, but I really think I was just developing my own voice. And I know that sounds cheesy, but it's really true. Like, you do, once you stop trying as much and you just let your brain take over. And this does, you have to work to get to this point. You have to try out different styles of writing. But once you get to that point where you don't have to think as much and your brain can just go on, I don't want to say autopilot, but like when it just really becomes natural, then that's when it starts to be really fun. So I think that working towards getting your own unique style of voice is what makes it worthwhile, what makes agents and potentially publishers willing to get interested in you. And I think that was what made me better, finding my own voice.
And how do you think that you did that? Just by continuing to work and just trusting in the process?
I actually had a very specific way of doing it, which sounds really painful and awful, but actually really worked for me. So it was with my third novel, the one that I wrote right before Windtall. I wrote everything by hand and then transposed it into my computer and then would print it out and rewrite it by hand.
Wow.
And yeah, it was very slow going, but whenever people are struggling to find the right pace, I've written friends' work where they're either going too fast or too slow. And I just say, write it by hand, because when you're writing it on the computer, people are so fast on the computer these days that it's almost like your hands can go faster than your brain. So whenever people are struggling with their pace, I just say, write it by hand. And people don't really write by hand anymore. So it really does force you to slow down and think a little bit more.
And so is that what you think that process did? It made you slow down and think about the words and the sentences?
Yeah, I think that's really when I started to develop my own personal style.
Interesting. Elmer Leonard worked that way for years. He wrote all of his novels. Yeah, he wrote all of his novels on legal pads. And then at the end of the day, he would type up whatever he had handwritten.
Yeah, it's slow going, but I think it really does pay off.
So are you working on another novel now?
Yes, I am. It's set in Los Angeles again. It's about, let me think, like, how to describe it. Okay, so basically, it's set in contemporary Los Angeles. And 4 years ago, there was this really violent home invasion murder where this very wealthy, eccentric family was attacked, and the two parents were killed, and the teenage daughter was she was wounded in a way that almost killed her, and the teenage son went missing that night. So there were all these rumors and speculations. It was a very famous killing, also fictional. And then for the next 4 years, the daughter goes and lives with her family in the South, and then basically the novel starts when she comes back to Los Angeles and someone starts sending her threatening letters, and she hires this female private investigator to help her figure out who's sending these letters, who also potentially killed her family. Yeah.
Great. You've talked about this a little bit, but I'm curious, what other writing advice would you offer for those who want to write their own stories and novels and would like to be published?
So one thing I always say is that I feel like is the most obvious advice, the advice that I've heard every writer say, but also something that I think that people forget, you have to read constantly. So you have to read as many books as you can, and don't just read what you think people, don't just read like bestsellers, don't just read classics, read everything, read trashy novels, read romance novels, read comic books. Ray Bradbury suggests that as well. Like, you have to just be a consumer and find what you like, even if it's not what's best-selling. Just find your own weird little niche and then emulate that. So that is like the biggest, the best advice. Like, the years when I have written the best is when I'm reading a lot and reading stuff that really inspires me. So that's one piece of advice. The other piece of advice is write a bad first draft. Like, aim to write a bad first draft, because if your standards and expectations are low, then you're more likely to finish it and you'll just have fun with it. So just pretend no one will ever see the first draft, because probably nobody will. Just finish it. Just get that thing done. Other advice, like, once you get more into the publishing side. So I started reading about the publishing industry. I read, like, this is going to sound cheesy again, but I think it was The Idiot's Guide to Getting Published, or Getting Published for Dummies. It was one of those books, and it was so good. It was like, it sounds like a get rich quick scheme, but I just checked it out from the library. I was like 19, and it was so good. And it was really, truly the first time I felt like, oh, this is a thing that is possible, that there are steps you can take to understand it. So it doesn't have to be that book, but I would recommend anyone who's curious about getting published, just read one of those books. Read about how the process works, because then it is no longer this scary, intangible dream. It's really just a business. You learn how to write a query letter, what a query letter is. You learn how to get an agent, and you learn how long it takes to get published, like years sometimes. So yeah, it's just a business. No one should be scared of it.
Great. You talked about reading. What novels and writers have inspired you as you went through this process that we've talked about, writing these multiple novels and persisting to get published?
Oh, man. Okay. So when I wrote my first novel when I was in college, it was my third year of college, and I had a little bit more free time with school. So I started reading a lot more, and I read The Age of Innocence by Edith Wharton. I was studying abroad in France, and the library actually had a pretty limited selection of books in English. And so I read some classics that I might not otherwise have read. The Age of Innocence is amazing. The language was incredible. And that was a book that I had always written off in my mind as being just like an old, boring classic. So good.
Right.
Oh, so good. And then I read The Black Dahlia, which was set, it's about the murder of Elizabeth Short in the 20s. So incredibly
James
written.
Ellroy.
I love it. Yes, James Ellroy. James Ellroy. Yeah. I've read most of his books. I don't want to say all of them.
Yeah, that's an amazing book.
So good. Hey, yeah, that one's, I mean, the language, and I could not put it down. And that was when I was like, I want to write crime fiction. And then, and that was another one that was like just part of the English selection, this small selection of English books. And so lucky me. And then one of the books that has been absolutely the most pivotal for me is Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier.
That's wonderful too.
So, oh my gosh, that is one of the best books I think that has ever been written, in my opinion. So yeah, I still have that on my desk. I still flip through it when I need inspiration.
That's great. Where can people find you online?
I have a website now. It's just avaberry.com. I'm also on Instagram. I just posted a photo of my chickens. Yeah, my Instagram handle is The Modern Atlas.
Great. Again, we've been speaking with Ava Berry, author of the debut novel Wind Hall. The book is on sale now, so go buy a copy. And Ava, thanks for doing this interview.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. What an honor.